Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister is due to meet with the Egyptian President. Jaromir Jagr is dropped by the Florida Panthers, and prison overcrowding worsens. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka is due to meet with Egyptian President Abdallah Fattah el-Sisi on Tuesday in Budapest as part of a regular meeting of the Visegrad 4 group. The meeting should discuss the situation in the Middle East and North Africa as regards the threat of terrorism and migration. A bilateral meeting between Sobotka and Sisi should also broach the issues of energy security and economic, cultural and education cooperation. According to the Czech government, Hungary has taken over the presidency of the four-nation V4 grouping, which also includes Poland and Hungary. Czech ice hockey legend Jaromír Jágr's contract with the Florida Panthers has not been renewed ahead of the new season, meaning he must find a new club. The Panthers announced that the club regretted it was seeking a new direction, which did not include the 45-year-old Czech. Local media say the new coach, Bob Barna, did not see Jágr as part of the future setup. Jágr had wanted to stay on in Florida. He remarked on his Twitter account last week that he had no responses from approaches to various other ice hockey clubs. Czech tennis player and former Wimbledon finalist Tomáš Berdych has slipped to 15th from 14th place on the men's world ranking at the start of the Wimbledon tournament. Frenchman Gael Monfils, finalist in the weekend's Eastbourne tournament, leapfrogged over the Czech into 14th place. Berdych played an exhibition tournament at Hurlingham as his Wimbledon warm-up and could therefore not pick up any points. Czech prisons are overcrowded and unable to offer the stipulated space to inmates. At the end of June, there were 1,831 people in custody or facing charges, more than the prison service could ideally hold, according to Justice Ministry figures. The total prison population was 22,794 at the end of June, up from 22,502 at the end of 2016. The numbers have been rising at a slower pace in recent months. The movie based on the life of politician Milada Horáková, who was executed by the communists after a show trial in the hardline 1950s, is in post-production and will premiere on October the 31st of this year. The film's director, producer and scriptwriter David Marinka, who spent 9 years working on the project, has announced. Milada Horáková is portrayed by the Israeli-American actress Eilet Zura. American actor Robert Grant plays her husband. And finally, Andrej Babiš's Ano party is maintaining a strong lead over its political rivals, according to the survey conducted by the TNS agency. According to the outcome, Ano would now win general elections with 33.5% of the vote, followed by the centre-right Civic Democrats with 11% and the Communist Party with 10.5%. The Social Democrats would come fourth with 10% of the vote. Finally, a look at the weather. Tuesday is expected to be cloudy with rain in the west of the country. Top temperatures will range between 22 and 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Karlovy Vary Film Festival kicks off. The Czech Foreign Minister returns to the subject of a Czech killed in London. And later we talk to the editor of the Festival Daily at Karlovy Vary. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The 52nd Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicked off with a glitzy opening ceremony at the weekend. Speaking on the red carpet, Hollywood star Uma Thurman reflected on some of her best-loved work, while Casey Affleck highlighted the significance of such festivals. Ian Willoughby was at the ceremony and sent this report.
We were the creme de la creme in an exclusive industry.
Uma Thurman presented a double bill of Quentin Tarantino's cult Kill Bill movies to several thousand people at Karlovy Vary's outdoor summer cinema on Sunday night. Speaking to journalists at the festival's gala opening on Friday, Thurman offered her take on the two films' enduring popularity.
You know, there's a certain magic in the air, and sometimes it catches, sometimes you have the right piece of material. I think that Kill Bill hit a nerve of female empowerment at the right time, and I think there's been a progression of films after that that have been really fantastic and supporting women as being strong and intense. So I'm always going to be very proud of having participated in that.
Uma Thurman received Carla Vivari's President's Award at Friday's opening and said that for her, getting prizes never gets old.
We do these things to sort of remind ourselves to encourage each other. And whenever I've received any recognition for something, I actually just feel very moved and supported and encouraged to carry on. So as I am carrying on, it's very nice. It's really an honor.
Also receiving the festival's President's Award was Casey Affleck, who picked up the Best Actor Oscar this year for his performance in Manchester by the Sea. Affleck likes to alternate between big-budget movies and small independent films, and in Carla Vivari introduced one of the latter, his latest work, A Ghost Story. He told the 1,200 or so guests at the gala opening that artists have to stick to their guns.
Anyone who works in the arts, as almost all of us do here, I guess you know that you have to sort of resign yourself to spending your life doing things that probably most people will never see and they won't like as much as you do, and that's okay. That means you're doing the right thing with your life, probably. So an event like this is a really wonderful opportunity to share some of those things that many people never see and to recognize one another's work and to celebrate it a little bit. And I'm happy to be here and very proud to be in your company.
Casey Affleck and the Carla Vivari International Film Festival concludes next Saturday evening.
Ian Willoughby reporting there from Carla Vivari. Now, the Czech Republic is currently chairing the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe, one of Europe's top human rights institutions. During a visit to Strasbourg last week, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek also discussed a case that's raised emotions in the Czech Republic, a not guilty verdict in the case of an attacker who killed a Czech man in London following an argument outside a fast food outlet. The Czech Republic has been seeking ways to get the case reopened. Daniela Lazareva reports.
The case of 31-year-old Zdeněk Makar, who was brutally beaten to death by Raymond Scully following an altercation outside a fast food outlet, has received a lot of attention in the Czech Republic. The verdict of a London court which cleared the British national both of murder and manslaughter charges in April evoked outrage and disbelief in the Czech Republic. Several thousand people signed a petition calling for justice for Zdeněk Makar, and the Czech Foreign Ministry summoned the British ambassador to Prague for an explanation. Following a futile appeal on the British side for the case to be reviewed, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek concluded that an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg is the only means of trying to secure justice. During his visit to Strasbourg last week, Foreign Minister Zaorálek said the case had been brought up in talks with Council of Europe Secretary General Thorbjørn Jagland.
Bavili jsme se tady ještě u pana Jaglanda také o té české kauze.
One of the cases we discussed with Secretary General Jagland was the case of the Czech killed in Great Britain, since there is interest in the Council of Europe in how the case is developing. I told him we were in contact with the victim's sister, who was preparing to file a complaint against the verdict at the European Court of Human Rights. We are giving her every assistance possible, since we see this as the only possible means of reacting to the verdict, which we have grave doubts about, and that personally we see as grossly unjust and a failure of justice.
The case has also raised some doubts in Great Britain, where a petition was also launched seeking justice for Zdeněk Makar. According to British law, 100,000 signatures on such a petition would open the way for it to be debated in Parliament. However, even that would not guarantee the case being reopened. The case could be reopened by the prosecution in the event of compelling new evidence, and such cases are very rare. European Court of Human Rights Judge Aleš Bechal says its own ruling on the case would only have moral weight.
Tento soud nikdy nic neruší. Tento
soud pouze... This court does not have the right to cancel verdicts. All we can do is pass a verdict on whether we believe the court of a given country violated the Convention for the Protection of Human Rights. And if we reach that conclusion, then it depends on the laws of the given country whether the case can be reopened. The only thing this court can do, if it concludes that the rights of an individual have been violated, is order the country to pay some form of compensation. We can do no more.
Ale to je všechno, co můžeme udělat. Víc udělat nemůžeme.
Alice Pechal, ending that report by Daniela Lazarova. And now we go back to the West Bohemian spa town of Kalvivari for the following report from Ian Willoughby.
The journalist Veronika Bednarová has been closely associated with the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival for many years. Her main job there is as editor-in-chief of the festival daily newspaper, but she's also well known for moderating press conferences with some of the world's biggest movie stars. When we sat down just before the 52nd edition got underway, I asked Veronika Bednarová when she had gone to Karlovy Vary for the first time.
It was in the middle of the 90s. I was a student of the philosophical faculty doing theater and film studies, and there was a little poster at the faculty kind of finding just, you know, short freelance work for the press department. So I was kind of like, you know, copying press releases and putting them together because it was all Xerox time.
And how did the festival then compare to today?
Well, it was pretty much the same vibe. It was just slightly slower and maybe there were not so many international film stars. But it was still an A category, so you could feel the importance of it, really.
And when did you start editing the Festival Daily and what does the work mainly entail?
I started to work for the Festival Daily in 1997, I believe. Then I left for the United States for 3 years. So I came back in 2002 as an editor-in-chief, which was pretty hectic back then because I kind of needed to put together my own team, which is really the most important and also the most challenging thing of my work, because if you work with great people, which I have the luck to do, then, you know, 90% of the work is done, really.
And does your team change a lot? I see different faces every year.
Well, sometimes people, you know, have babies. Sometimes people get, you know, some important job which doesn't give them the 2 weeks off for the festival. But pretty much the team, I would say 80%, I tend to keep sort of the good people as long as possible because the experience helps a lot.
You have interviewed a lot of huge stars at Vary, many major Hollywood stars. Which ones stand out in your memory?
Well, I think the first is always the most important, right? That was Klaus Maria Brandauer for me back in the, I don't know, mid-90s, because I was challenged with my own language, with my own English. I was worried I wouldn't be able to communicate properly. And then it was definitely Robert Redford in 2005, because it was like, you know, the Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, who I admire, was there. He was like a role model for many of us, for many of the independent filmmakers. So I really, really wanted to do a good job. There was a long interview involved with him, more than an hour, and also, you know, moderating his press conference. So that was definitely a year I remember the most.
What's he like?
He is extremely surprisingly humble and very interested in other people, which is not always the case in anybody, really, not only in stars. And he was very, very surprisingly surprised that we knew all his old movies, which was, again, back surprising for me that he was surprised. And just very warm and extremely intelligent person who has the tendency to put people together, which he did in Sundance. And that's why it's great that we collaborate, the Karlovy Vary collaborate with Sundance ever since.
This no doubt applies also to other work you do away from Karlovy Vary sometimes. But what are the do's and don'ts of interviewing or even interacting with these really big stars?
There isn't any, really, which I'm sure you know from your own experience. It's just like interviewing anybody else. You have to try to understand the person. And I mean, yeah, maybe there is one rule, but again, it applies for everybody. It's just like not to be scared of him or her. The moment they feel that you are intimidated, they kind of lose interest in talking to you. So it's really maybe being slightly provoking, it's better than being shy and quiet.
Everybody's always interested in who the big stars are going to be. I'm sure before the festival, many people asked you who's going to be there this year. People always talk about it. From your perspective, what makes a good festival guest?
The one who really, really loves Karlovy Vary, which is, you know, because the festival has the tradition and there's already a lot of people talking about Karlovy Vary. So, for example, this year I interviewed James Newton Howard, you know, the author and composer of more than 130 Hollywood movies, starting with Pretty Woman all the way to Hunger Games and The Fantastic Beasts. And he said, oh, many of my friends told me that Karlovy Vary is such a magical place, I can't wait. And that's the good guest, you know, the one who is curious to meet the audience members, to see the city, to see other movies, to engage with the whole atmosphere. And that happens, fortunately, all the time.
Is it common for the guests to interact a lot? For example, I saw photos of John Travolta taking selfies or having his selfie taken with a lot of people.
Well, like taking the selfies is a perfect concrete example of being engaged with a city. Because like Richard Gere, you know, coming to see Pretty Woman, 27 years old movie, and seeing 7,000 people waiting for it for 2 hours before the movie starts. I mean, what could be more exhilarating?
When you speak to the guests about their impressions of the festival, what are they typically?
Some of them are a bit hangover.
That must be very common, right?
It's quite common. It depends also when you meet them. Some of them are very happy. Some of them are extremely surprised, you know, how loose the atmosphere is because they are trained with those other big sort of business film festivals that they don't really meet anybody rather than the film professionals. And they just also like the beauty of the city because there is a certain, you know, Central European charm, I think quite unique for the Anglo-Saxon visitors.
You mentioned earlier you also moderate press conferences at Karlovy Vary. You tend to moderate the biggest ones. What do you do as the moderator if somebody asks a bad question or a totally irrelevant question, or, which I've seen a few times, if they simply start rambling and just speaking and not making any point?
Well, it's part of the job. First of all, I have several questions prepared myself, ready to intervene anytime it would be needed. If somebody is rambling, I just cut him immediately with no, you know, hesitation. And then sometimes, obviously, the bad question has also have to be sort of, you know, smashed out of the table and just pretending that it never happened. But you guys are so fantastic, the journalists from the festival, that I have to say, happens less and less, these crisis situations.
You don't have to name any names, but have there been any guests that were like really rude or really difficult or really strange, anything like that?
It does happen every now and then, but very, very rarely. I would say maybe 1 in 5 years. You just, you know, push it through and pretend it doesn't happen. But based on my experience, if you kind of don't let them to be like that and you push through with, you know, the welcoming sort of arm of the city, they usually get better with a bit of alcohol.
And what kind of behavior are we talking about here?
Maybe like, you know, being super critical or saying, I only want this coffee, not that particular coffee. I only drink this water and not this water. But as I'm saying, it virtually doesn't happen. Or when it does, I mean, it's great to explain them that, you know, we are all just people and they usually understand.
And have you ever found that some actors are simply kind of vacant as people? They don't really have a strong personality. Maybe that's how they can be actors.
Absolutely not. I think being an actor means being quite pushy, being there, being presented, trying to charm all the time, talk a lot. Even the non-talkative actually have their own inner charm. So they are very unique people. If anything, they are quite sensitive, so you have to be careful not to scare them because, you know, sometimes one would believe, oh, it's such an international star, you know, he must be sure of himself completely. It's not the case. We all have our insecurities and hesitations.
You must have thought about this. Is there a dream guest, somebody you would absolutely love to interview or even just be around?
I have so many of them, though, all the time. You know, I keep waiting for Jack Nicholson every year, faithfully. I hope to see Meryl Streep one day. I even have some political dreams, like I think Barack Obama could come to see now when he's a bit less busy. I do have some sort of, you know, those young and up-and-coming Hollywood stars. For me, Ashton Kutcher is an interesting guy, mainly because of his interest in modern technologies. I would like to meet Ashton Kutcher and talk to him about the future of Silicon Valley, what's the next thing in the modern technologies. I certainly wouldn't mind interviewing George Clooney and his wife. So we'll see if they come now with the twins. And, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. It's never ending.
What about directors? Are there any directors you'd love to see at Varian?
Oh, yeah, but we would be here forever. I mean, Martin Scorsese.
That's the one I was thinking about.
I keep faithfully waiting, maybe more than Jack Nicholson. I have, like, millions of questions for him. I would probably leave Martin Scorsese as the ultimate dream of all of us, I guess.
If you could change one thing about the Carlo Vivari Film Festival, what would it be?
Well, the day would have 30 hours instead of 24.
That's the only thing?
Yes.
You've been associated with Vari now for over 20 years. What has the festival given you?
Sense of like a children's camp every year, but I mean it in the positive way. There are people who maybe don't have the time to meet throughout the year or very rarely, and then sort of we come there and we have to work for that one common thing, and we have to work towards that. And that's actually very psychologically stimulating, I would say, because you work for that ultimate goal, which is to make a great year of the festival. And I think one day when I won't be doing it anymore, because I keep dreaming about actually, you know, going to movie theaters and seeing movies instead of working for the festival, I think I'll miss it a lot.
Veronica Bednarova speaking there to Ian Willoughby. And if you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But for me, Chris Johnston, thanks for listening and goodbye.